This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It doesn't matter which end of the political spectrum you're on or what generation you're a part of, because one thing we can all agree on is that we like transparency. We want to know how the government is making decisions and spending our money. Enter the watchdogs. In Chicago, the top watchdog is the City Inspector General. The office is tasked with investigating corruption on all levels of government. And the IG just released a new quarterly report detailing employee misconduct from an incomplete sexual assault investigation into a Chicago police officer to a water management custodial worker illegally receiving pandemic-era PPP funds. I sat down with Chicago's Inspector General Deborah Witzberg to get a better idea of what else is included in her report and what she wants Chicagoans to know about city management. Here's the Inspector General.
We have focused our efforts on investigating the kind of serious misconduct in city government that undermines public trust. The city of Chicago operates at a tremendous deficit of legitimacy with its residents. And so we focus our efforts on holding bad actors accountable when they break the rules in those cases where the bad actions, the rule breaking, contributes to that deficit of legitimacy, undermines public trust in the government.
Yeah, there are several cases of police cover-ups, issues where alleged misconduct, it was kind of brushed away or just not reported correctly. One involved a lieutenant that didn't sufficiently investigate a sergeant who was accused of sexually assaulting a member of the public. Can you talk more about that?
That's right. So I should say, when we report out on our misconduct investigations, these are confidential by ordinance. And so as set out in the law, we issue these de-identified summaries. So just to say, we don't name anyone involved in these investigations.
Right.
But the one that you mentioned was one in which a member of the Chicago Police Department assigned to the Bureau of Internal Affairs was tasked with investigating another member of the Bureau of Internal Affairs for accusations of sexual misconduct. And we found that that investigation was mishandled. And furthermore, the subject of the investigation, the person who had mishandled that investigation, lied to OIG about it while we were doing our work. We cannot be in a place where the police department cannot meaningfully, competently investigate its own. And lying to OIG means you don't get to be a city employee. You don't get to be a Chicago police officer anymore.
Yeah. You talked a moment ago about holding bad actors accountable. How much of this is bad actors and how much of it is a systemic issue?
It is both of those things. I think particularly in the police department, we think about this a lot. Institutional culture is a very powerful thing. And I often say and truly believe about policing that the problem with the Chicago Police Department is not that it's a good system with a few bad people in it. It's a bad system with a lot of really good people in it. We have to be doing two things at one time here. We've got to walk and chew gum when it comes to reform. We have to both address the deep, fundamental, systemic, structural problems, and we have to appropriately discipline bad actors. We have to be doing both of those things.
CPD, of course, does have a rule against making false reports, and disciplinary action is usually dismissal, or at least it's supposed to be.
That's right.
A report that you issued last year found more than 100 current and former police officials were allowed to remain employed after making false statements. How is that possible?
It's possible because the implementation of that rule has not matched the intention. I think that's sort of all there is to it. I think that lying should disqualify someone from being a member of the Chicago Police Department. I think that we cannot ask people to trust a police department which lets its members get away with lying.
And if they're not being dismissed, then what does accountability look like?
It looks like not enough. And, you know, if there are people who have lied out on the street conducting police work, writing police reports, and landing on the witness stand, that goes to the very core that undermines the administration of criminal justice in Cook County.
Yeah. If or when you do conclude misconduct has occurred, Inspector General, you'll usually make recommendations for the actions that then need to take place. So to what extent is leadership at CPD required to actually follow what you've outlined?
They are required to respond to our disciplinary recommendations and to, they have to do one of two things. They have to either follow the recommendation or they have to explain why not. In the case that we just talked about with the sexual misconduct investigation, the police department did in fact follow our disciplinary recommendations. The member who lied to OIG mishandled the investigation. We recommended that that person be separated from the department, and CPD has indicated that on a preliminary basis it intends to do that.
I'm curious about another case where you found that a rideshare driver was threatened with a gun by an off-duty officer, and police wrote a false report there to cover up the officer's actions. How often are those kinds of cases coming across your desk?
Well, not as often as they are probably happening. I mean, the fact of the matter is, what's so problematic about the under-reporting of misconduct within the police department is that we may never know that it happens at all. And so it's incredibly important when those instances do come across our desks that we take action, that we pursue them rigorously. So in that situation, as you say, a CPD member brandished a weapon in a rideshare. The handling of it really did serve to minimize the incident and to kind of underdraw the original discipline. And so we recommended that a number of the officers involved in that process be punished, and the police department accepted those recommendations.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
CPD is under a consent decree, as we know, and the department has only fully complied with about 6%. In a statement, you said that your office would step up efforts to, quote, shine a brighter light on CPD investigations. Talk specifically about how you're looking to do that.
One of our statutory mandates is to look at closed police disciplinary investigations conducted by the Bureau of Internal Affairs and by COPA. So the ordinance which sets up our public safety oversight section lays out the reasons for us to do that. The integrity and the rigor and the transparency of the police disciplinary system is critically important. I think the only road to a better relationship between the police and the community is through a disciplinary system in which both members of the public and members of the department have reason to be confident. I think that's critically important. And so the work we do making sure that investigations conducted by the Bureau of Internal Affairs and by the Civilian Office of Police Accountability are concluded appropriately is critical to that. The move that we are making to make that more transparent even than it has been is to publish more information about those cases. So I talked about the fact that our own misconduct investigations are confidential by ordinance. The same confidentiality rules do not apply to our reviews of BIA and COPA investigations. And so we are going to publish more information about those reviews, about those cases, to, as you said, sort of shine a brighter light into what is a very complex system.
If you're just tuning in, this is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Chicago's Inspector General is calling on you to share what you want to know more about when it comes to city government and issues that matter most to you. She's embarking on a listening tour to connect with you. And in studio right now is Chicago Inspector General Deborah Wisberg sharing details. Let's turn to that initiative I just mentioned that your office is rolling out. Listening tours. Who are you listening to? And what are you trying to learn?
we are listening to Chicagoans. They are the people who know Chicago best. The exercise that we're doing here is to learn more about what Chicagoans are worried about, what they want to know more about city government, and what they think we should be looking closer at. There's a great deal to do in government oversight in Chicago, and we are frankly never going to do everything that needs doing. So all of the work we undertake is a prioritization exercise. We have to be directing our resources, as we talked about, at those problems which matter most to real Chicagoans. And so to make sure we are making those prioritization decisions in as well-informed a way as possible, mm-hmm. we are out asking people to tell us, as I say, what they've seen go wrong in city government, what they want to know more about in terms of how government works, mm-hmm. and what city government could do to improve their quality of life, to make things better in their neighborhood, on their block.
Another question you're asking, too, have you heard of the Chicago Office of Inspector General?
Yes.
How are you anticipating folks will respond to that?
You know, we've started to do a lot of work around awareness raising, just yeah. so people know who we are and where to find us if they need us. Our work is only as impactful as we are effective in talking about it. If we're doing our work and it's not reaching people, then, you know, the accountability tree is falling in the forest and there's no one there to hear it. So we have signs in English and Spanish on CTA buses and trains telling people about who we are. Mm-hmm. We have billboards up along highways in the city. We are trying to make sure that we show up in neighborhoods across the city. I often say that I will go anywhere I'm invited and some places I'm not to talk about our work and to listen to what people are worried about. We want to make sure that if Chicagoans have something to say about how we should improve city government, that they know where to find us to tell us.
Why is this work so important, Inspector General? Because the Inspector General hasn't needed to do listening tours before. So I'm curious what sparked this.
I don't know if we haven't needed to. We haven't done it before. I don't know that I would say we haven't
That's
needed
fair.
To. I think it's our responsibility to continuously improve what we are doing. And why now? You know, because we haven't before. I think it's more important than ever as this deficit of legitimacy accrues. It's more important than ever for us to get at the things which most impact real Chicagoans.
You've already got a couple of stops under your belt. So what have you been hearing so far? Can you share?
We hear a huge range of issues. You know, Chicago is very much a city of neighborhoods, and what city services look like and what challenges exist vary very much in different parts of this city. That's one of the reasons why geographic reach, I think, is so important in doing this. And we'll see. It's certainly true that policing and public safety reform, those things are close to the top of the list of what a lot of Chicagoans are worried about,
okay.
me too. And we'll continue to focus attention there.
So you're hearing a lot of comments about crime in the city?
Crime and policing and what makes people feel safe in their neighborhoods. I think those things will always be important.
Well, leave us with this. How can folks engage in these listening tours with your office or in general?
We would love people to go to our website, igchicago.org. There's a link there to answer the listening tour questions, and we'd love people to do that.
And these tours are going on now through May?
Through the spring.
May 15th.
Yes.
All right. That's Chicago Inspector General Deborah Witzberg. You can find out more about the IG's listening tours and how you can inform their work by going to igchicago.org. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by Meha Ahmed, and it was mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more conversations about interesting people, places, and issues in the Chicago area, make sure to subscribe and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.